Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Glory, glory, glory to God. Father, we're just so grateful to be in your house tonight. And Father, I just am humbled to be amongst such wonderful, precious people. People that, Father, I care so much about, are dear to my life, that, Father, you love so much that you gave them your Son. You have a plan for each and every one of them. And Father, to be able to minister your word is an honor, a privilege, it's a joy. Father, I don't take it for granted or lightly. So, Father, I know that this moment in time represents an opportunity for us to be helped, an opportunity for us to be changed. So, Lord, we don't need Mike Anderson's wisdom or Mike Anderson's thoughts or opinions or philosophies or theories. Father, we need your help. We need the thoughts from heaven tonight. So, Lord, as I open my mouth, I thank you that you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, bullseyes will be hit in the hearts of everyone here. And, Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for the change. Lord, we're not magnifying the name of the ministry. We're not magnifying the person at the head of the ministry, which is myself as the pastor. No, we magnify Jesus. We magnify you. We magnify the Word. And we magnify our helper, the Holy Ghost. So, Father, thank you for what's about to happen. We thank you for impartations, for revelations, for correction if need be. And, Father, we thank you for the anointing here tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 says, "There was a certain woman which had the issue of blood," or an issue of blood, "and suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' His disciples said, 'Who, you see everyone touching you, and you're asking, who touched me?' He looked around about her to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you whole.'" Praise God for that. Faith can make you whole tonight. Praise God. "That which is lacking, faith can fix." Amen. But he says, "Go into peace and behold thy plague." Kimmel, if you pull up the Amplified of that last verse there. He said, "Daughter, your faith, your trust, confidence in me, spring from faith in God, has restored you to health." Faith got you there. But now he says, if you're going to keep it, he says, you must go into peace and be continually, not just right now, but continue. You want to continue your healing, this has to be the platform, peace. Healed from your and freed from your distressing bodily disease. And so we talked about this on Saturday, and we talked about this on Sunday morning. And again, I would encourage you to listen to Sunday morning, because it was a lot different than Saturday night. And the Lord dealt with me early Sunday morning in the wee hours of the morning, you know, before that big old ball was in the sky shining at us. It was dark, you know, and he's telling me things to add to the service. And then there was a door of utterance that was opened in the service that I didn't, that Lord hadn't dealt with me about at the time, but dealing with different things about when I read it on Sunday morning, "Go into peace." I can only explain it this way. It was like it jumped off the screen at me, and there was a door of utterance, and I stayed on something for quite a while. And we got some things out, praise God. And I can't tell you, when I say this, I'm not magnifying me. My job is just, I just need to be a good hearer. Yeah. And then be willing to say what he says, because he gives the information. Yeah. But I'm amazed at how good he is, because I didn't say these things Saturday night. Don't know why. The Holy Ghost didn't have me to say them. But I said some things on Sunday morning that will still be a blessing to you, even though they weren't said here Saturday night, that so many people came up to me after service on Sunday and said, that just hit the bullseye, applied to exactly what's going on. I think, Lord, you're so kind to do that kind of thing, you know, praise God. Because who knows, maybe I missed it in my preparation not to have it in the message, and the Lord said, we're going to get it in one way or the other. I'm not going to have to deal with it. He's got to deal with thick-headed people like me, you know. That's how you know he's patient. He needs to use people like me to get his job done, so he's got to be patient because I can screw things up, man. But he's so good. And so he says, go into peace. And so we've been talking about that peace needs to be our platform. Peace needs to be the flow of our lives. And we talked on Saturday and Sunday how one of the greatest robbers to peace is fear. But there's a lot of robbers to peace, you know. And without peace, there's no faith. Go to Romans real quick, 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Just want to point this out real quick. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So there's something that has to be in your believing if it's really faith. Yeah. Joy and peace. Yeah. I'm going to say something. I'm going to say a lot. That's why I'm up here. But I'm about to say something specific. If what you're believing for is not have joy and peace involved with it, you're not in faith. Yeah. Faith is joy and peace, praise God. It's there with it. And so we need to protect peace. We need to make sure, and I made the statement on Sunday. He said, go into peace. That means from this point forward, anything you have to do in your life to make an adjustment, the uncomfortable things, and that's where, when the door of utterance opened, and really what the door of utterance was, how people really kind of sacrifice their peace because of family members, because of pressure, because of guilt, because of fear, whatever, they sacrifice their peace. Listen, whatever it takes, we can't afford to get outside the boundaries of peace. Jesus told her, he said, listen, you're healed now, but to stay in this flow of healing, you must stay in peace. You get outside of peace and your healing's going bye-bye. And there's so many things that are vying for our peace, and it's our job. Jesus did not say this is just a suggestion, it's a good idea. He said, go into peace. So you know what he's telling us? Go into peace. That means if we leave from here and our lives don't look like peace, we need to make some tweaks. We need to make some adjustments. And sometimes these things are not easy. Sometimes these things are not hard because they deal with people. They deal with hard decisions. They deal with difficult things. But peace must be protected at all costs, because you would say to yourself, I can't afford to live without faith. I mean, we saw a message a couple weeks ago. Faith is not optional for us. If we want God's flow, His mercy, His power towards the things that we need, faith is the only way it flows. Take away faith, you take away the flow. Well, if faith only works in the atmosphere of peace, peace must be protected. Peace must be guarded, praise God. Well, I want to go a little different direction. I don't want to re-preach those messages, or that's not in my heart tonight. It's in my heart to go a little different direction. Go with me to Colossians 3 and verse 15. So if God is telling us, go into peace. Well, if I were to say to you, go into the living room, or go into the basement, or go into the kitchen. Well, when you go into the kitchen, you take with yourself your thoughts, your ideas. You take with yourself your answers. You take with yourself your decisions, the things that you're going to, if you're asked a question, you'd be in that room from that place. You'd answer it from the kitchen, from wherever. It'll make more sense what I'm trying to say here in a second. When he says go into peace, what he's saying is all of your decisions, your life choices need to be from an atmosphere or a place or the root or the starting line of peace. Now, this verse will help clear what I'm trying to say up, because if there's anybody that can confuse the heck out of you, it's me. But the word will clear it up. Just give the word a chance. What do they say? Give peace a chance? Give the word a chance. Colossians 3:15 says this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Now, that has many connotations there, but one in the Amplified really brings things out. And I want to pull that up in the Amplified, Kimline, to show you what I'm talking about. When he says, go into peace. So when you go into peace, think of it as like you're going into a room. You're going into a a location, okay? He says, let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule or act as an umpire in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. In that peaceful state, we don't need to go on anymore, that's where I want to go. But he says, let peace make the decisions. So when he says, go into peace, I'm going to go backwards from how I usually minister this, and there's certain places where I want to go, specific things I want to get to tonight. Sometimes, you know, to get to my tree stands, a lot of times, sometimes I can't just take a straight line to get there. Because if I did, I'd come out with prickers from head to toe. Got to go around. Or if I tried to just go straight to it, I'd drown because the water's over my head. So I got to go across the creek that I can get across, you know, the part that I can get across. So sometimes to get where I want to go, we got to go around some things. So we're kind of going around the mulberry bushes here tonight, the prickers in the creek, to get where we're going. But I'm going to go a little bit different because of how the Holy Ghost said to do it. But notice he says that the decisions you make, the questions that you have, let peace make those decisions. Because what we were saying was that a lot of people, when he said go into peace, they make decisions outside of peace. And we'll get that more in a second. But so peace needs to make the decisions from your heart, he says. Let peace act from your heart. We'll now go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Again, normally I preach this coming from the other way. But Proverbs 20 and verse 27 says this, the spirit of man. So how many of you know you're a three-part being? We know that. Your flesh, your body, you're really use spirit, but the real you's housed in a flesh suit, a body. And you have a mind, a will, an emotion, the soul part of you, spirit, soul, and body. But he's talking about the spirit. Now look at this. The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. Now think about that. The candle of the Lord. Now we're not talking about times of flashlights. We're not talking about the times of electricity. We're talking about the times of candles. And when it gets dark out back in those days, what do? They light a candle. What's it do? It lights things up. They can then read. They can then navigate through their homes. They can do what they need to do without tripping, without stumbling, without getting hurt, without going the wrong place, without falling, right? So he's saying the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So how God lights the way for a person is through the spirit. But then notice this. It says searching all the inward parts of the belly. Now that's talking about the center region of a person. Now remember what Colossians 3 said, that the decisions or peace needs to come from your heart. The spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, the belly, this region here. When it's talking about your heart in Colossians 3:15, it's not talking about thump, thump, thump. Your organ heart does not make decisions for you. It does a lot of things, but it does not make decisions for you. Your answers do not come from the organ that's pumping the blood through your body. When it's talking about in your heart, it's talking about the spirit of man, the center of man, the same thing it's talking about here. So he says, peace needs to come from your heart in that center part of a man, which is where your spirit's located. And now go to Romans 8:14. And usually I start with Romans 8:14, but we're going a little bit different way to the tree stand tonight. Romans 8:14. One day, you have to understand something about Pastor Mike. I used to be terrified to walk in the woods in the dark by myself. Go ahead, laugh. I'm laughing at myself. You can laugh. It's not going to hurt my feelings. And now I'm not trying to justify, because really around here, it was funny. There was a guy the other day I was going to hunt a property, and he was going to fly a drone. And I'm not making fun of this person, because if you're not an outdoors person, you just don't know these things. And he's going to fly a drone, and I said, oh, okay, well, you know it's bear season. And when I said the word bear, oh, that changed his tune. He started asking me questions from, he's like, is this, like, will they attack me and things like that? So really, the bear is the biggest, scariest thing around here, but really, every bear I've ever encountered in the woods takes off running around here, partly because they don't need to use you as food. You're a threat. There's a lot of food around here. Now, you go somewhere where the food's scarce, you might look like a snack. But around here, you don't have to worry about that too much normally. You know, you don't hear many bear attacks in western New York. So anyways, when I walk to my tree stand, it's not because I think something's going to get me. I can't stand being startled. Oh, I hate it. I hate, and if you've ever heard a white-tailed deer get scared and snort in the woods in the middle of the dark, it sounds like, phew, multiplied by many decibels, and it just sends shrieks down your body. And so if a deer, and when you're walking in the dark, a deer won't run away right away until you get real close, especially if the wind's not going towards them. They don't know what you are, and so they'll stay there, and you can get pretty close to them in the dark, and then they decide to sound off. It's not fun. And I used to be so terrified that I'd have to leave super early because I would get so sweated up being so nervous when I got to my stand that I'd freeze because I was sweaty, you know. And so one morning, I was so careful. I took so much time. I had to go all around these different places to get to my tree stand. And when I got to my tree stand, after going through the dark, nervous, shaking, sweating, climb up my stand. I planned to sit there all day from dark to dark. I'd forgot my harness. Can't go up in a tree without a harness. Why am I telling you this story? I don't know. But it was a good story. Anyways. And so we're going around different places here tonight. Like I had to go around that day, right? I used to be terrified in the woods. I did. Praise God. Why did I tell that story? There's a reason I told that story. What'd you say? I know. I didn't think we got there. I know why, because it was pointless. Just as we were flipping our Bibles, I was going to tell you, because I was saying we're going around, and I was going to tell you how I got around, and I got scared in the woods, you know, and things like that. But forget what I just said. Let's just go on. Romans 8:14. Hallelujah. Anyways, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, led by the Spirit of God. So now, he says in Colossians 3, decisions need to be made from the Spirit. Proverbs 20 says the Spirit is the heart, the center of a man. And then Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So what I'm trying to say is, when he says go into peace, when he says go into peace, he's saying to you, all decisions that you are going to make, all choices that you make, need to come from that realm of peace. But really what he's saying is, you need to be led by the Holy Ghost. Now, why am I saying this, and how does this apply? I have had the pleasure of living with myself for 40 years. It's like you've had the pleasure of living with yourself. You know yourself, don't you? You know yourself better than anybody else. And I've had the pleasure of watching myself stumble, trip and fall in life and different things. And in fact, I've learned how to follow the Holy Ghost more in the times I've missed it than the times I didn't. And it taught me the leading, the voice, the unction, how the Holy Ghost operates. And I've had to learn and take my lumps the hard way. But I've also had the pleasure and the privilege of pastoring. This is the 10th year. That we're doing this here, and in a sixth year here, but as senior pastor, 10th year, I've had the opportunity of watching many people have to stumble, trip, and fall in different areas of their life in unnecessary situations. And the reason being, let me just say this, is because a lot of people are not making choices, are not making decisions, are not going forth in their life from peace. Their decision-making comes from pressure. Their decision-making comes from guilt. Their decision-making comes from fear. Their decision-making comes from worry. Their decision-making comes from opinions. It's the truth. And the Lord said that I lead by the Holy Ghost from the inward man, not from the mental arena and not from the emotional arena. And so all those things that I just mentioned, the fear, the worry, the pressure, the guilt, they led by finances, those are all decisions that are made from the mental and emotional arena. And that is not what you want. He says, go into peace. Step into a place where your decisions come from peace, which peace is to rule in your heart, which is what's in your heart, the Holy Ghost, your spirit, the very place that God is guiding and directing you. But most people, I'm saying most because I've been around most people, do not make decisions or go forward by being led by what God says in X, Y, Z of their life. They're led by, again, I'm not even going to consult with the Holy Ghost. What's pressure telling me to do? Whatever pressure says to do, I'll do it. Whatever the money is saying to do, I'll do it. Whatever fear is saying to do, I'll do it. Whatever the opinions of man is saying to do, I'll do it. And the Holy Ghost, the very place that God is only involved in directing and guiding you, is telling you things and we're not getting our answers. But the good news is we can change. Praise God. Go with me to John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. You could couple this with Sunday's message and making decisions, because we really, really, there was a big door of utterance open up about how people make decisions and things, and it's sad because God has so much better for us. Amen. It says, howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, when did he come? He came when Jesus left. Remember what Jesus said? He said, it's better for you. Advantageous, expedient. He used the word expedient in the King James. That means advantageous for you. That I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. Well, people would look at him and say, it's not good that you go away. Well, people were only blessed by Jesus if they were in his physical location. But when he left, the Holy Ghost was then able to enter into all of mankind and have our help right here. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, so he's come. He'll guide you into all truth. Guide you. There it is. Lead. Remember, lead by the Holy Ghost. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, let's pull up the Amplified, because what's the Holy Ghost hearing? It tells us in the Amplified, it brings it out clearer. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truth, the whole truth, the full truth, for he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but notice this, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. Amen. So he said, they that are led by the Holy Ghost are the sons of God. How's God guiding and directing? Through peace in your heart. What's in your heart? The Spirit of man, the candle of the Lord. How's God guiding with that candle? Through Romans 8:14, he's given the Holy Ghost. Now go back to Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. I'm going to show you a verse that tells you how it works for everything. So now it says, the Spirit of truth has come. He'll guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own behalf, but whatever he hears, who's he hearing from? He's hearing from the Father. Now look what it says in Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Verse 15, for you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit, it should say himself, he's not an it. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Now this, in this context, this isn't all he does. Just like where it says over there in Romans 10:9, that if we... with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with confession is made unto salvation. You can insert healing there. With the heart man believes unto healing, with the mouth we confess for healing. With the heart man believes for prosperity, but with the mouth we confess. Well, here it's just talking about that how we find out we're children of God. The Bible says that the Spirit Himself, the Holy Ghost, that will guide you and show you things, come. He'll hear things and tell you things. Who's He hearing from? The Father. It says the Spirit bears witness to our spirit. So there's communication going on in this region where God said, I'll lead by the Holy Ghost, which is the center of man, the Holy Ghost, the candle of the Lord, the heart of man, where peace operates and flows from. He said, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the only way we know that we're the children of God is because the Holy Ghost is telling us, our spirit man, you are children of God. The Holy Ghost is hearing it from heaven or from the Father, relaying that information to our spirit. Well, that's how it works with everything. What do I do about this situation? What do I do about my kids? What do I do about my money? What do I do about this relationship? What do I do about my business? I'm stuck. I don't know the answer. What do I do, Lord? Well, the way you're going to get your answer is the Holy Ghost is going to hear from the Father. Now, that's important to get that. The Father, hearing from the Father. Why you want to go this route is because this is the avenue that the Father gets His information. What information? Well, the information where He sees your life, knows every turn you should make, every pitfall you should avoid, everything you should stay away from, every stuck situation, He knows how to get you out. You know, I've been lost in the woods before. At nighttime, we used to have a property in Frewsburg, and I knew that property like the back of my hand, but at nighttime, you get caught in the dark there, everything looks the same. And really, it's not a big property. It's only 100 acres, but a lot of it's field. And so either go one way, you're going to get to the Conowango Creek. You go another way, you're going to end up in a field. So really, you're not really too lost. But you don't, you know, when you're in the dark and you want to get home, you just want to go the right way. But the interesting thing is, if I was perched up, or if I had a drone flying around, and the drone was hooked up to my phone, you know, and I was flying around and I could see from the top position and it's telling my location and I can see from the drone where I'm at, it would be easy then to get out because I'm looking at a different position. See, God's not stuck like you think you're stuck. Remember, behold, Lord God, nothing shall be impossible with You. Nothing's too hard for You. So that situation that you found yourself in for years even, or it's just been an ongoing thing and you don't know how to get out of it. You don't know how to change it. You don't know how to turn it around. Those things that are so pressing on you, they're not pressing on Him. You need to see it from His position. He's not stressed out. He's not even fearful. He's not worried. He's looking at it and from a position of confidence, a position of answers that should reassure you and help you and comfort you. He doesn't see it like you see it. And so why that is comforting is because He offers us that position to hear from Him from that way by being led by the Spirit. That's why it's imperative. We have to be people who are led by the Holy Ghost. Because that's how that, from that position and those answers, that's how they flow to us. They don't come through the mental arena. They don't come through the emotional arena. But how God does things is the position He's in and the position you're in with your kids, with your money, with your relationship, with your job, with your business, with your body, the things that you just can't get out of, you're spinning your wheels over and over, year after year. He has the answers. He has the help for you. And so what He does, remember the Holy Ghost said, I'll guide you into all truth. Well, we know by God that how He does things, the abundant life is ours. He said, I've come to give you the abundant life, the blessed life. So God's not okay with you staying stuck. Because you get the thought, well, how do I know He wants to help me? Because He gave you Jesus. And how shall He not, Romans 8:32 says, give you all things freely if He gave you Jesus. He doesn't want you stuck. You don't want your children stuck. And so He's got the answers. And so He knows what He knows the answer. Okay, I see that situation. This is how they're going to get out of that. Hey, Holy Spirit, this is the answer. Because didn't he say the Holy Ghost said he'll hear? So God must have said something. And the Holy Ghost heard it. Now, we might not have heard it directly from heaven, but we'll hear it from the Holy Ghost, because then the Holy Ghost will bear witness. Bear what witness? The witness of what the Father has said. But he doesn't bear witness to our minds. He doesn't bear witness to our emotions. He bears witness to our spirit. Now think about Proverbs 20:27, how that brings that even out even more. See, I told you we'd get somewhere. We're getting there now. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What's he saying? The way I'm going to guide you is through your spirit. How? By giving the information to the Holy Ghost, who converses with our spirit, bears witness, and tells us. So why is it important that we be led by the Holy Ghost? Because the Holy Ghost is telling our spirits. The spirit of man. We got to be led by the Spirit. Go back to verse 14, Kim Lai. If you would, please. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, praise the Lord. Now go with me to Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. I just think if he's telling us to go into peace, you can't go into peace and not be led by the Holy Ghost. I should say it this way. You can't be led by the Holy Ghost and not be in peace. They're interchangeable. I think it's about time. God's offering it to us. If faith depends on it, this is where our answers come from. To stop playing games as Christians. We act helpless at times. What do I mean by that? Why do we act so desperate and discouraged and allow ourselves to approach another new year and go into that next new year with the thoughts, it's going to always be the same. It's never going to change. I'm just waiting for God to do something. I think it's time we change that attitude and start realizing, you know what? I got a Father that knows all. I got a Father that loves me. And this is how he operates. And I got to learn how to operate this way. And I got to not be led by emotions. I got to not be led by pressure. I got to not be led by people. I got to not be led by my money. I got to not be led by opinions. And I got to start hearing from God, even if it causes me to make some hard decisions and to make some adjustments. Listen, it's not fun in the position you're in now. What do you got to lose? I'm amazed at people that have hell on earth in their life. It's chaos in their life. It's pressure in their life. It's constant crisis and upheaval and all these things. And I'm amazed. Why not just try it God's way? They're already miserable. That's just how my analytical, logical brain works. Like, it's not working this way. Might as well give this a shot. Proverbs 10:22. Look at this. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. What could you say? It causes increase. Well, would you say that one of the blessings of the Lord would be the fact that he's all-knowing and he's put the all-knowing one on the inside of you, who in another place says he will show you things to come. He'll guide you into all truth. That's a blessing. One of the ways to be blessed of God is by following the Holy Ghost. So you could say it this way, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. What are we talking about? Well, Colossians 3 said, make all decisions from your heart. What's he saying? Be led by peace in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost leads by peace. That is the guidance and direction of the Holy Ghost is peace. He's saying, be led that way. So if we were to apply it to this verse, we could say, the blessing of the Lord, or the blessing of doing it God's way, or the blessing of receiving the blessing, the way that God does things by following the Holy Ghost, it will lead to increase. So what he's saying is, in certain situations, if you want increase, you need it to change, you want it better, do it God's way, which God's way is by the Holy Ghost. What's that mean? Listening and obeying what the Holy Spirit says. And look at the result. It says, it'll make you rich and add no sorrow with it. Well, if you turn that around, you could say it this way. If you don't do things in decisions or living your life the Lord's way, which what we're talking about would be what? If you decide pressure's going to be my guide, comfort's going to be my guide, money's going to be my guide, guilt is going to be my guide, shame is going to be my guide. You can, those things lead people, but when they're led by that, sorrow is attached to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I could tell you story after story. Now, I'm going to pick on myself tonight. But I could tell you story after story of people that I've had to deal with that make decisions in their life with their kids, with their money, with different, with their spiritual decisions. They make decisions based on what pressure says, what guilt says, what shame says, what money says, what people's opinions have said. And it leads always to sorrow. Why? That's not how God's leading. They've made parenting decisions. They make relationship decisions. They make financial decisions. They make business decisions based off everything but what the Holy Spirit is saying. Yeah. I don't want to turn there for time's sake, because I want to get to some examples in my own life of telling on myself. But remember Lot? And Lot made a major decision. Number one, to separate from Abraham. I don't even know if that's what God would have told him, but that's what he did. And then where he chose to go, he chose Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we have the benefit of knowing what Sodom and Gomorrah turned out to be. He didn't. But do you think God would have led him to a place his wife would have been killed? His daughters would have been, you know, taken advantage of, and the bad things that happened there. He got kidnapped there. I mean, all sorts of crazy things happened there. Well, the Bible tells us that Lot, he didn't consult God. He did what a lot of Christians do. They consult feelings. They consult pressure. Because what's the pressure saying? Pressure to him was, I got all this cattle. I got all this stuff. I need good land. And what did Sodom and Gomorrah give off? Fertile land. Made decisions that way. Didn't make decisions based on God, which based, being led by the Holy Ghost is making decisions based on God. And it led to sorrow. And I can tell you, decision after decision and situation after situation, even in my own life, and I'll give you a couple examples here tonight, where people made decisions and it led to sorrow. We have to go into peace. That means go into a lifestyle of being led by the Spirit. Being led by emotion is not being led by peace. Being led by the pressure of family members is not being led by peace. Being led by the opinion of man is not being led by peace. Being led by the checkbook is not being led by peace. So let me give you a few stories of when Pastor Mike did not do Proverbs 10:22. And I was led by these things, and it led to sorrow. I mentioned this on Sunday morning. My dad had a stroke in April of 2004. I got married in June of 2004. And immediately when he got out of the nursing home, it was sometime that summer, maybe it was getting closer to fall, I can't remember. Never asked God, what do I do? Because here my dad was going into back home. Didn't have the finances to go into an assisted living place. Didn't have the finances to, you know, the natural to bring in an in-home nurse to take care of him. And so I had a lot of pressure. I was the one that was home. My sister was out of town, teaching job down south. I was the family member that was around. There was pressure. I had people giving me guilt about it. There were financial pressure. And so I came to the conclusion, I'm going to take care of him. Now, that might seem like a noble, sweet thing to do, but the noble, sweet thing to do is do what God says to do. See, a lot of people think in their own situation, this is the best thing for me to do. Yes, if that's the way God's leading you, it is. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 is, trust in the Lord with your heart. That's where the Holy Ghost leads. Lean not on how you think. Because you might think away, but God says my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Acknowledge me in all your ways. That means even when you think you know what you're doing, Lord, is this the right thing? And he said, I'll direct your paths. Well, I didn't acknowledge him because I just thought, naturally, it seems like, again, people would look and say, that's noble, that's kind, and it was. It was kind, and it was compassionate of me to do that. But I'll tell you, the motivation was, I loved my dad, but it was pressure. It was fear. I had told the story of how I was spending 16 hours a day at the nursing home out of fear. There was nothing that was that had manifested in the natural that said I need to be afraid of anything, but I kept hearing, thinking of stories, pictures of nursing home abuse and hearing stories and this is what they must be doing to my dad. And none of that was true. But I was like, I'm going to stay there and make sure and spend 16 hours a day. It was exhausting. Especially because my dad, when he came out of the stroke, the first time I saw my dad out of the stroke, it rocked me because he was, you know, his world was changed. He came up out of his bed. He had been almost in a comatose state. I came in the room. I'm convinced it was spiritual. He sat up out of the bed and after he had the stroke, when they didn't even think he was going to live, and came after me, like to attack me. And it was the most bizarre thing. And it just rocked me. And then he went right back down and didn't know if he was going to live. And so when he came, when he was in the nursing home, his brain had changed. He was so nasty to me. He was so mean to me for 16 hours a day. I'm enduring that. But I loved him and knew this wasn't his fault. You know, his brain's different now. And I did that out of fear. And then I'm a newlywed in June 2004. And I decide we're going to move into my dad's place and take care of him. And this is true for over a year. Courtney and I lived in a room that was actually about the size from where that goes around to right here. This was our space for a whole year. And we shared a bathroom with him. And I've told the story. I've had to do things and help my dad with things that I hope my son would never have to experience with his own dad. And clean him up and do things and showers and all that stuff. And he's doing things on his own that's causing, you know, great commotion and things in the house. And Courtney's subjected to all this, and we're doing that for a year, and it brought great pressure to our marriage and our life and everything, and it was chaos, but I did that out of fear, out of worry and guilt. So when it seems like these situations start to snowball, you make one bad decision and it triggers another bad decision. Well, old Pastor Mike thought, I know how to fix the situation. Courtney has always had dogs her whole life. Well, we had a dog in that home named Duke, the Cocker Spaniel, who was my dog and turned on me because my dad was now home all the time. So it became my dad's dog, and that dog and me did not get along well in the end. And so that really wasn't a dog. I thought, you know, she's had dogs since she's little. I'm going to do something for her to make this better because it was a miserable existence. Can't even describe everything that happened. But anyways. And so I'm working in the oil and gas fields for my friend's company. And I'm working for a guy named Fred. He looked like an old version of Hulk Hogan. The mustache. He had big muscles. And he was intense. Brother. Does that sound like Hulk Hogan? Brother. It's pretty good, isn't it? Take your vitamins, brother. That's what Hogan used to say. Anyways. That was Fred. And Fred had a, what kind of dog was that? It was an Australian Shepherd named Cowboy. And Cowboy was only a year old. And Cowboy, I'd show up at the place every day, and Cowboy took a liking to me. And I'd go eat my lunch under this big oak tree that he had, and Cowboy would sit there, and I'd feed Cowboy, and I just loved that dog. Dog was so, I just loved the dog. And Fred saw how me being younger took the Cowboy, and he got the idea. He's like, you know what? If you want Cowboy, you guys can have Cowboy. We can't, you know, keep up with how much exercise he needs and things like that. And Cowboy had other dogs on the farm that they played all day long. No problems. I never seen Cowboy growl. Never seen Cowboy get upset. Just always wag his tail. Happy dog. Well, when Fred offered that, the thought came to me, oh, I'll do something for Courtney that will be some kind of relief and blessing to her because then she'll have a dog at least. She's always had a dog and it'll be something for her. You know, that's the way my mind worked. And when I thought of that, that decision did not come from the Holy Ghost, is what I'm trying to say. That decision came from what? Guilt. Guilt that she's in that situation. Shame that she's in that situation. Pressure to make her happy. Holy Ghost never told me. Now, he told me, you can acknowledge me in all my ways. You can talk to me about this if you want, Michael. I just thought, no, it seems good to me, you know. That's a, just kind of lighten the load a little bit, turn down the pressure, you know, that's going on. And so I told Fred, I said, okay, I'm going to go home and get Court, bring her back, see the dog, see if she would like him. That whole way home, I had a yucky feeling in my heart of don't tell her about this dog. Don't do it. You opened your mouth, it's over. I just knew not to do it. Don't do it, don't do it. So I said, so I did it. That's a lot of what I've done in times, you know, so I did it. So let's go back to Sugar Grove. Fred has a dog I think you're going to love. Kyle, but you know, I've talked about him before and I've come home. Let's go see him. I want to see if you like this dog. So she goes, sees it. Whole time, don't do it, turn around. It's not a good idea. I just knew, I had that knowing. But the pressure kept saying, this is going to make her happy. The guilt kept saying, look what you've done to her for this long. Get her a dog. And the whole time the Spirit's saying, no, 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 don't do it. So I brought her back to see. Oh, she loved Cowboy. Who wouldn't love Cowboy? Cowboy was wonderful. And so we drive home. I say, Fred, I'll talk to you tomorrow. We go home. Oh, I want Cowboy. She said, oh, a Cowboy. Yeah, that'd be great to have Cowboy. What a great dog. Whole time, that doesn't go away, you know. I go to Fred the next day, I'm driving there. Do not tell him yes. Don't tell him yes. So what's that? What do I do? Yeah. Told him yes. We'll take him. Now here's the thing with Cowboy. Cowboy was a farm dog. And if you know Fred, Fred's not taking his dogs to the vet. Fred's not giving his dogs a bath. Fred's not worried about fleas and ticks. So Pastor Mike does not want to bring a dog like Cowboy home into his house. So what's Pastor Mike do on the way home? Taking Cowboy, stop at the vet and spend, I think, $500 or $600 getting the dog cleaned up, all the shots it's never had, everything cleaned up to bring it in the house. Because this is the greatest thing ever. The whole time. It's just yucky, yucky, yucky. Get Cowboy home in the house. And within the first 5 minutes, Cowboy sees Duke. Now, Cowboy's been around all these other dogs. Now, remember, Duke is almost like a service dog to my dad who had a stroke now. They're like this. Animals have an interesting, they can have a powerful relationship with people. And that was, so my dad had a fond connection and bond with Duke now. And 5 minutes, and Duke's just a little Cocker Spaniel. Cowboy's a big Australian Shepherd. 5 minutes, Cowboy goes in the house and sees Duke. And I never seen the look on that dog's face. The teeth came out and that dog just attacked Duke, which sent my dad, who's already got a brain issue. See, with my dad, different things, he set him off the wrong way, and it's magnified since he's had the stroke. And it sent him into a terrible place. It put him in. And the Holy Ghost the whole time was trying to spare me from that. Well, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Oh, you can have the blessing of a dog, but if it's not of God, it's going to add sorrow to your life. And it did. And so now I have a decision to make. I just spent all that money. They're not giving that money back. They can't suck the shot stuff out of the dog and put it back in the bottle, retake all the hair, put it, you know, back, all the matted hair and stuff. So now put the ticks back in them, you know. I spent that money. That's gone. I got to tell her. I got to get my dad calmed down, that sorrow. Spent the money, that sorrow. Got to tell Fred I can't keep this dog, that sorrow. Got to tell her we can't keep Cowboy, got your hopes up, everything, that sorrow. And the whole time, the Holy Ghost was trying to help me. Now, do you have time for a couple more stories here? I'll make this. You'd think that your pastor would learn his lesson with dogs. Pastor Mike was sitting in the Jamestown church and got this brilliant idea to add a second dog to the home with Wrigley, my yellow lab, who died in 2017, because, and this is the stupidest thing in the world, I got some thought that Wrigley would be happier with another dog. When in fact, the truth we found out about Wrigley is she just wanted to be left alone all the time. It was the worst thing that happened to her. But I got this idea. She can't be alone. She can't be alone. So I get on the Buffalo News classified ads. And as I'm doing it, scratch, 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 fingernails on a chalkboard in here, right? And I'm, don't make that call. Don't make that call. Hey, I see you got some chocolate lab puppies. Can we make an appointment to see him? Sure. Okay, hang up the phone. I got an appointment to see him. Don't you call your wife. Don't you tell her about this, because you tell her about him, you're going to see those puppies. Call her up. What do we do? Oh, yeah, we're going to see him. Driving up there. Don't see the puppies. Don't look at those puppies. Oh, no. There they all come out. Looking so cute and cuddly, and their little tails, and they're jumping on you and things. And it's like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. That's what people do in relationships. Oh, look how pretty they are. Look how kind. They opened my door. Big whoop. Anyways, so we see the puppy. We commit to it. And this puppy was not cheap. It was an expensive lab because from a good breeder, you know, and we wanted to make sure the hips and everything with labs, they have hips. So it was not a cheap puppy. We get Mossy, and come to find out, we picked the one with separation anxiety. And the one that happened to be part beaver. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you were to look at our trim in our house and our the windowsill, it looked like someone had released a beaver in our house. And she would mess everywhere when we would leave, and it was a nightmare after nightmare after nightmare, and the peace had been sucked right out of the home by a dog, by the disobedience, right? And there was the Holy Ghost the whole time trying to spare me. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. Now, the awesome thing that I like to tell about this story is that if you're in a place and you can say, you know what, I'm right where I'm at because I missed it. Okay, great, repent. I repented. I remember I was out in the cherries, working in the cherries. I said, Lord, I know I can't keep this dog. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I prayed. Well, he gave Court a grace where she actually wanted the dog gone more than I did, which I was like, praise the Lord for that. That helps. Thank you, Jesus. But then the Lord opened up a home for the dog that actually was someone who was going to be home with her all day long, and she was going to be on a farm where she could be outside running around. It was so perfect. God just swooped in after we repented and used our faith, and God blessed us. Praise God. Amen. But pressure, guilt, shame, all these things led to stupid decisions. Real quick, I'll just tell this story and we'll close. Maybe just fill in with one more thing about a positive. I got to end on a positive note about myself. But one more bad thing. I was supposed to have a medical procedure. I had some things going on in my body. And you know, you have some things going on in your body. A lot of things, if you type in symptoms on the internet of what you're having, can either be minor or you're dead. Yeah. I mean, right? I mean, it's one or the other. It's like, oh, no, everything's going to be fine. Or, oh, boy, better not be this. And then you see those things and it gets into you. Have you ever been there? Am I the only idiot that typed it in? And so I'm dealing with these symptoms and it can be absolutely minor or it can be major. Well, the only way I can find out is to have a procedure done. Actually, it was a colonoscopy is what it was. Well, when you don't have insurance, a colonoscopy is not cheap. It's not like going to the Dollar General. That'd be nice if they had Dollar General colonoscopies. You just pay a dollar for a colonoscopy. But that's not the way it is. And so I didn't have insurance. I said, okay, Lord, what do I do here? Well, the Holy Ghost told me this. What you're reading about the minor stuff doesn't even need to be taken care of. It's completely fine. I knew that in my spirit. Now, let me caution you. You have to know that you know that you know that you know if you're going to avoid medical. And when it comes to my children, I don't use my faith on test my faith. Play lottery like, you know, you hear these people that their children died because they didn't get a medical attention because God was going to heal them. Well, If your faith's not there, don't be playing lottery and chance with your kids. Amen? And you shouldn't do it with your own body either. And so, but the Holy Ghost, I knew it. The peace was there. I don't need to have this done. Well, I made the mistake of telling somebody who is a world champion worrywart. And I told this person, the symptoms I was having. Well, they don't understand the things of the Spirit, so I didn't even go into, I don't need to go get this checked, the Holy Ghost. Oh, my, Mike, you got to go. You got to check. What if it's this? What if it's that? Well, by giving ear to that, faith comes by hearing. All of a sudden, my faith shifted off of, I know what I know, to, oh my gosh, what if I'm missing it? What if I'm wrong? What if this and that? So what did I do? I was led by fear. I was led by pressure. Right? And what did I do? I went and had the test done. And you know what they told me? Everything the Holy Ghost already said. That which I was reading about, that's what the Holy Ghost said. That which you're reading about that's minor, that's what it is. Nothing needed to be done. They said, you're perfectly fine. Well, why did I do that? Pressure. Fear led me. And it led to sorrow. What? Paying that off. Come on now. What if I would have, as I close, what if I would have with the sprinkler system in South Dayton? Because y'all know that story where they told you to have a sprinkler system and the price got up to almost $100,000 with where they'd have to connect in the water and all the work they'd have to do. And the Holy Ghost, remember I asked the Holy Ghost, what do you want me to do? Believe for the money or believe that they're going to change that we have to have it? Remember the Holy Ghost clearly spoke to me. He said, don't believe for the money. You don't need to raise the money. You're not going to have a sprinkler system. So, okay, Lord, that's what you said. That's what I'll do. What was that me doing? That was me doing Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord with my heart, acknowledging Him in all my ways, Him directing me in how to do it. So what if I would have given in? You talk about pressure. When contractors and architects and building code enforcers who are a bazillion times more knowledgeable than I am when it comes to construction and laws and rules and buildings and building programs. I know nothing about building. Remember, I'm lightning. Yeah. Do you remember, people? I am lightning when it comes to building. Remember, I was helping a gentleman build a barn. And he said, I got a nickname for you. Your name's Lightning. I thought, you're darn right it is. Yeah. I was like, they used to call me Wheels when I was in baseball. You know, that I ran so fast. That's true. I thought, that's just following me to my old age. Lightning it is. And he could tell. He's like, I said, why you call me that? You know, and I'm like, thinking you didn't see me in a race. He's like, I watch you hammer and you never hit the same spot twice. Well, that's what they say about lightning. It doesn't hit the same spot twice. That wasn't a good nickname. So I don't know anything about building. And all the professionals are telling me, you have to have a sprinkler system. And when you're on a construction project, there's deadlines and things where they can't drywall into certain things because the sprinkler system's going to go behind the drywall and stuff. So I had to say to them, of course, when God tells you something, He's got the time to figure it out too. But I had to say, can we delay this? And if you go into our mechanical room at South Dayton, there's some things on the wall. And someone asked me not too long ago, what is that? And I realized that was where they started the sprinkler system when Pastor Mike said, stop. I said, don't do the sprinkler system. I didn't tell him why. I said, can we hold off on the sprinkler system? Is there other things you can do? I said, just would you mind doing that? Sure, you're in charge here. Tell us what to do. We'll do it. But there's coming a point, Pastor Mike, where we have to do the sprinkler system. Okay, that's fine. And I'm getting phone calls almost on the daily. Hey, when can we start that sprinkler system? And I'd say, I think we got to do that. Oh, we got to do it, Pastor Mike. This, but we checked with the courts. We checked with trying to write a special affidavit type thing or whatever it was. And they've denied that. You got to do it. You talk about pressure. You talk about being pushed a certain direction. Right? What if I would have just said, okay, start it and then go to the church and try to raise the money? There would have been sorrow attached to it. But thankfully, I've taken so many lumps that eventually you learn. It's better, no matter how hard it seems, no matter how difficult it seems, no matter who you have to deconnect from and disconnect from and make adjustments with, whatever you have to do, it's just better to follow God. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich or increase, and it will add no sorrow. But you keep being led by fear and pressure and guilt and shame and worry and opinions and people. And it will lead to sorrow after sorrow after sorrow. Enough's enough. It's time to be led by the peace of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Were you blessed tonight? I was blessed tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Oh, we thank you. Our help is there, Lord. You are so good to us, Father. You are so kind and compassionate. Father, we bless you tonight and worship you. We thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, Lord, I want to make sure that people know that you're not mad at us. You're just always ready and willing to help us. And even if right now we've made bad parenting decisions, we've made bad financial decisions, we've made decisions based on emotions, we've made decisions based off of fear, we've made decisions based off of pressure, we've made decisions based off of guilt, we've conducted our lives, we've put ourselves in compromising positions because of whatever. Father, you said in your word, if we confess our sins or our failures, you are faithful and just to forgive us. And then you said, Father, that you are He, even He, that blots out our transgressions for your sake, and you will not remember them anymore. So if we'll come to you and repent for doing things our own way and getting ourselves in a pickle and a mess and a bind, you said you'll forget it. And then, Lord, it'll be like you looking at us from heaven and seeing us in a stuck place. And all we got to do to get out of it is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust you with all our heart. Lean not our own understanding. Acknowledge you in all our ways and you'll direct us. And the way you'll direct us is by the Holy Ghost, being led by the Spirit in our hearts. So, Father, I pray that people would not continue to beat themselves up, continue to wallow around in pity and condemnation. But, Father, they would repent and say, okay, it's time to make adjustments. It's time to make changes. Help me, Father. What do I do about this? And, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your kindness. Lord, you want to help us so much. Let's just worship Him right now. I want you to worship Him from that place. Because y'all have things and stuff that this message pertained to and applied to, you know, maybe with family members, maybe with children, maybe with money, maybe in relationships. Just worship Him from a place of, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Father. That you believe that He'll turn it around for you. Lord, we trust you tonight. Lord, you're good to us. Wrong decisions can be turned around by the Holy Ghost. Wrong choices. Years and years of things can be. 2020 can be our best year ever. A year of change. Yes, a year of change. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. A year, as my pastor said last night, of new beginnings. And I'm sure those that'll come out in the Holy Ghost meeting. So, Father, we thank you. Our life is... It's available to fill in the blanks of good things and different things. We have so much time left on this earth, in the natural. I mean, years left, unless Jesus comes back sooner. We might as well live them in victory. We might as well live them skillfully. And Father, yes, I'll say that. And this is important. Make sure everyone's listening. That which He leads you to do, even when it's tough, even when it seems impossible, even when it seems hard, remember, His way only will lead to increase. Even when your mind gives you imaginations and pictures and thoughts, His way will only lead to increase. Your job is to find out what His way is and then do what His way says to do, and He'll bring the increase. Father, you're faithful. We trust you, Lord. Let's stand up and praise Him tonight. We glorify you, Father. We magnify you, Jesus. We're so thankful, so grateful for the Holy Ghost. Change is coming, praise God. Turnaround is coming in the name of Jesus. Deliverance is coming in the name of Jesus. Increase is coming in the name of Jesus. As we endeavor to hear and obey, we will walk into the increase that you have made available to us. So we thank you for it right now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you. Appreciate you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you Saturday. You're dismissed.
34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. It goes on to say, let us magnify the Lord and exalt